What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 51 of Positivity Spartans. I'm here with my boy, as always, Marcellus Majestic James. What's going on, my brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, man, you know I'm living. I can't complain at all. We are also joined today by a special guest, Zach Franklin. Zach, how's everything going for you?
Man, it is a good day to be alive.
I love it, man. I love it. It's, everything sounds kosher. Everything is great. And y'all know me, man. I'm the boy, the voice, the host, y'all with the most. Y'all know me, your boy Isaiah Hubbard, whatever y'all want to call me, Legendary Hub, however you want to call me. I'm hyped today because we haven't done an episode. Well, I haven't done an episode in a while. Last week, my homie stepped up for me, you know what I mean, while I was losing my voice. Had a great episode, so shout out to you and Lane, bro, because that was an awesome episode.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt, man. So today, I had a VA appointment, right? And this is going to lead into today's quote. So I had a VA appointment today, right?
Okay.
And you know the VA, you know, sometimes they do things a little backwards. But I'm a guy who likes to look like there's always a reason for everything. So Anyway, I had to drive to Temple today for my VA appointment. So for anybody that doesn't know, that's about 30, 45 minutes away. So I drive out there at 9:30 in the morning. I get there, get in the back, you know, I check in, get in the back. And she starts asking me questions that, like, don't pertain to any ailment that I have. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not really sure what it is, da da da. And she goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. They sent you the wrong questionnaire. I'm like, okay, whatever. Let's do a new one. She goes, well, we can't do that. We're going to have to set up another appointment for you to come at a later date. I was like, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? So as I'm sitting there, you know, I'm talking to the doctor and everything is cool. But I happen to look behind her and on the board is this quote. It's by Michelle Ruiz. If people are doubting how far you can go, go so far that you can't hear them anymore.
Yeah.
That's
right,
good.
Right, and I was just like, huh. I was like, I needed to see that today. You know what I mean? I needed to read that, and I feel like that's why the VA sent me there today. So that's today's quote by Michelle Ruiz. If people are doubting how far you can go, go so far that you can't hear them anymore. And I love it, man. But we're here today to talk about my man Zach and everything he does. So I'm gonna let Marcellus go ahead and introduce his homeboy.
All right, so I met Zach about, I'd say 2013-ish, around there.
Okay.
Around 2013, one of my friends, actually, he was going through some stuff, and he was like, man, I want to go to this church. And I'm like, I don't really do churches, bro. He's like, no, they got a youth advocate. Like, they got youth fellowship night. You should just come with me. And I'm like, I'm only going because of you. And I went there. And Zach's the pastor, right? And I'm like, church stuff. But he was like so real and so authentic that like you could do nothing but be like magnetically attracted to the dude. You know what I mean? Like he just had like such a good spirit when he preached, when he talked to people, like it was just excitement. And you're like, I like this dude. Like he's real. He likes his job and he authentically enjoys it. So I started going more and more, and like you just build relationships there. And Zach was one of the people that I was pretty close with out of the PL of Foursquare Church.
Awesome. So, and where was this you met Zach?
In Washington State when I was stationed at Fort Lewis at PL of Foursquare.
Gosh, Zach, what was your first impression of Marcellus? Did he give off the Giannis vibes or?
I never thought of that, bro, until right now. Definitely some strong Giannis vibes with like Giannis vibes. Wait. Giannis vibes with like Tatum tattoos, that big back piece. You know what I mean? Like Jason Tatum tattoos with like the Giannis vibes. That's how I describe it. Nah, it's funny though. I always myself. I don't know why. It's in my phone, but I always come across the photo after you were baptized, like all the time in my phone. I don't know why I always pop up, but the memories thing, you know, always pops up. So I got nothing but love.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And so you're a youth pastor, that's correct, Zach?
Yeah. So right now in California, and kind of with my California journey, you know, I consciously wanted to do the same kind of work, right? Work with youth, have an impact. And I feel like I've always been called to, I think, to serve kids or serve young adults, maybe who don't know how to navigate life or have someone to show them the way.
Right.
And so for me, kind of a classic story, unfortunately, my mom raised me, my dad wasn't anywhere in the picture. So a lot of my kind of like maturing season in life was kind of, and it's still happening, of course, but like was very unguided or kind of just happening as I was going along. And so I've always felt this kind of strong affinity or pull to just help kids, help people, whether that's, you know, in a church setting or helping them academically. Like for me, my key out of a negative environment as a child was school. So for me, I just like helping kids, whether it's faith-based or whatever it may be, you know, what are they passionate about and how can they use that to help improve their circumstance? Right. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I do. I also am a big believer in really, you know, equipping, I think, our youth with skills and skill sets that are applicable, whether that's tech, art, the sciences, those kind of things. I'm always right. trying to use different relationships to help provide opportunities. I guess could kind of sum it up in a very roundabout long way. I really live to create opportunities for others to thrive.
That's awesome. I like how you summarize that.
Thanks. Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this? How long have you been a youth pastor?
Man, so I have been. So I started. You know, I started in 2008. I started working with kids. So kids meaning like elementary age kids.
Okay.
And really, from there, it's kind of really, you know, progressed to different ages. Everything from, you know, elementary age kids all the way to like young adults. The underserved kid that goes to college, like right. for me, for example, I grew up with just my mom. We were poor. All of a sudden, I have scholarship money. I don't know how to manage money. No one ever taught me. Like, I'm just trying to make it out and survive. I think right. it's those yeah. kind of coaching moments that we miss or lose a lot of greatness or great talent because mm-hmm. we're not, you know, bookending or sandwiching the opportunity with some sort of, you know, whether it's mental health, whether it's career, I don't know, whatever it looks like, there's such an important emotional side of opportunity that I think we miss when trying to mentor or be present in the moment with youth.
Yeah, I think that kind of speaks on the old quote, it takes a village, you know, to raise mm-hmm. a child.
Absolutely. Because,
like, 1,000%.
There's so many roles and so many people that have impacts on someone's life for them to either A, become successful, or for them to, you know, become on the darker side of the society where whatever happens, they're in jail or, mm-hmm. you know, they're misusing drugs. There's like so many roles and impact moments from the community around you that you're surrounded in.
Absolutely. 100%. Man, I agree with that, man, because growing up, I had a little mentor. I mean, going through Lebanon School District, they assigned me. I don't even know how I got signed up in the program. I might have signed a paper and not read it, but,
you know what I mean? I got we've all been there. Yeah, just sign it. I'll figure it out. Yeah, exactly. Army, car loans, credit cards, like whatever.
Skydiving.
Yeah, right. Trips.
But you know what I mean? I had a mentor, and he was an older gentleman, an older white gentleman at that. And, you know, at the time I was like, well, me and this guy, I don't really know how we're going to mm-hmm. connect. Well, come to find out, we were both big basketball fans. So anytime, you know me, we would link up, boom, we would talk about basketball. He would help me about my homework. He would even like offer to, you know, pick me up and drop me off for like high school games and stuff like that. You know me, because there was times I didn't have a ride. And, you know, that played a huge impact on my life because it made me want to do the same thing when I was older. You know, I mean, this whole positivity Spartans, you know, everything that I do kind of, you know, stems from those moments, those mentors, that village. You know, I mean, all those people that helped raise me. And, you know, I mean, this is, you know, I mean, the seed that was planted. You know, I mean, this is the tree now. This is me bearing the fruit, trying to give back. You know what I mean? And it matters. You know what I mean? And a lot of people take that stuff for granted.
Yeah. Let's sit on that concept of village, right? I think what's very interesting to me is that means people and a place.
Right.
And that's, I think, what also is like pretty deep, right? Like, it's not just the person. It's the place or the environment that they either mm-hmm. one, like, brought you into or showed you. That's one thing I think is interesting too when working with youth and kids is like, you forget what is normal to you, they may not have any context of. Right. Like, it would blow your mind, or you might already know this, might not blow your mind, but like living in LA, kids live no more than 10 miles from the beach, but have never been to the beach. And when you think about that, that is kind of mind blowing, bro. It's insane. And think about that from a perspective standpoint. Like, you guys have been around the world. You know, the world's a big place. So think about, if you've never seen the vastness of an ocean, how small your world must feel, how big your problems must feel, how real the stress of not knowing where your next meal is going to come. This is these small things. And, you know, that's like an example of, like, I always use the ocean as an example in any sort of, like, you know, what kind of inspires you, or like, yeah, I guess as far as he's like the ocean, because the ocean is so big, we physically can't see the end of it, right? Unless Kyrie Irving's right and the earth is flat. But from what I know, I can't see the end of it. But it's just very interesting. It's like, the village is an environment as well. And sometimes, like your mentor, like, he has, like, literally to pick you up and take you somewhere, whether it's a game, whether it's a meal.
Right.
But unless your environment allows for that perspective, I think it's so easy to get stuck in a survival mentality. Mm-hmm. And so it's so hard. Like, and just as, like, awe-inspiring as the ocean is to me, it's also very calming in the sense that, like, there's so much in life that's out of our control. And the ocean is a great example of that. But it's like, these kids live 10 miles at most from the ocean, and they will have never been.
That's crazy.
And it's just, it's very, it's also interesting how it can be a cycle, how generations can never see the ocean. It's just all these things become norms that really are limiting and really, you know, depressing, really.
Right. Very depressing.
And then there's that thing where you get out of the norms and people look at you different.
Mm.
And it's like frowned upon.
Preach. So, you talk different. So,
right. So people get like, you move different. I don't want to be like out unnormal. So I'm just gonna
preach,
you know, make myself small in this pond because I'm too big of a fish.
Right. You don't want to stand out. And shit, us being anime fans, you knew that. Like, growing up, anime wasn't as cool as it is now.
Oh no.
Right. Anime wasn't as cool, and it was like, if you were an anime fan, you were kind of looked at funny because you watched cartoons, and it was like, right, like, yeah, that is
100%. And I think it's even harder, not harder, I think it's hard too in, like, you know, communities of color, because there's not that many of us in every city or state we live in. Right. And so I think sometimes that pressure to be one with your people can be even more so, you know what I mean? Like, you almost don't want to stand out for sake of survival. Like, all I got is my brothers.
I mean, how many times in your life have you heard Black people don't do that shit? You know what I mean?
Right. 100%.
Right.
100%.
You, like, you know, the classic, nah, that's that white people shit.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm mixed, but I'm like pretty light. And so it's like you're the whitest Black person I know, or all this stuff. And it's like, It's so interesting sometimes. Like, yeah, like, whether it's anime, whether it's whatever it is, interesting to
even music to get taste.
Caught. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, some Green Day or something. They're like, what?
Yeah.
I listen to Green Day and Project Pat, 3 6 Mafia and Kenny Chesney. I don't care.
Bro, I was gonna say, my kids are gonna be crabby playing some Jason Aldean loud.
I had seen a post on Facebook. It was like, Men and Men Only, what's one female song that you sing at the top of your lungs? And I'm like, yo, Rolling in the Deep, Adele.
Yeah. You know, bro, I mean, Adele's the best study music. I literally got a whole master's degree off of listening to an Adele album. I don't know, whatever reason that like put me in a zone to learn. I don't know why, but it's interesting.
What are your degrees in?
So my undergraduate degrees, like public relations communication. So essentially, like, think of like business school without going to accounting class. It's essentially what I did. Didn't do so well in accounting, so I kind of just, you know, went a different way. And then I got my master's from a Bible college. It's called Northwest University, and it's in missional leadership, and that's a really interesting way to say it. I just say, like, it's in leadership to me, not to like go off on a tangent, but church to me is fascinating because it's so social as much as it is spiritual. I know it might like not be like theologically correct way to say it, but basically it's like leading nonprofits or leading within the church specifically. And I honestly was just fascinated with the organic nature of church or the idea of church. And so the whole the degree or the studies is basically about like leading amongst like a religious group. So you kind of go through like the history of like the early church and all that stuff. And then basically really what I kind of dug into is what like the American church looks like and kind of how it operates and why, and is it good or is it bad?
Right.
But yeah, it's I always laugh because it's like I'm not necessarily using it every day, you know, but it definitely serves a purpose and really fed a curiosity that I have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think religion is one of those things that's like, if you're a curious person, it's definitely one of those things you could fall very deep into. I mean, because yeah. There's so many aspects, there's so many interpretations. I was actually just having this conversation the other day. Like, there's so many interpretations or ways right. You can interpret the Bible. You yep. mean in itself, the Quran, you know what I mean? Yep. All of them. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah, it's a vast, it's like a vast opinion behind a story, I guess.
100%. And I think it's interesting, too. I think, like, it's all, like, I believe in God, but I also want to, like, be sober-minded enough to understand so much of what we consume as truth as someone's interpretation of that mm-hmm. truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, really interesting. I think whether it's youth or adults, it's like, I think what I've come to realize, the older I get, not that I'm that old, but it's like we're all trying our best.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to me what we put on God or what we say is God when, like, we're all trying our best. Like, mm-hmm. and nobody's perfect. Right. We're all trying mm-hmm. our best. And I don't know. I'm definitely more as of late on the, like, I just want to help people and be a positive impact. And I think how I live is a lot more telling than what I say or what my opinion is. I'm very much a part of that camp right now is like, yes, I believe what I believe, but I also believe like how I treat you matters more than what I say to you.
Absolutely.
But mm-hmm. yeah, it's right. really interesting. So I think religion can also be a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a blocker, right? Like it can be right. something that limits you. I think what's interesting too is like when I moved here to LA, I chose to get like a marketplace job on purpose because I think my personality, like I like to talk, I make friends kind of everywhere I go. But I wanted to be able to not like, I wanted to be able to have an influence, make an impact with no stigma attached. I think being a believer in the marketplace isn't necessarily the easiest, but being a believer anywhere isn't easy all the time. And what I found, like being around like in the marketplace or holding marketplace jobs, is everybody wants hope. Everybody wants a faith. Everybody wants to believe for better. Everybody wants to do good. Like we're all trying, in somewhat of a rational sense, we're all trying to do the right thing. And right. it's been very freeing, I think, being able to help and serve people pretty organically. It's definitely interesting because I spent 7 years, 8 years working in a church full time.
Really?
Whereas now I volunteer and I serve, but my day to day is with like people. You know what I mean? Like right. I have like a manager. I have people I manage. Like it's definitely an interesting switch. But yeah.
Do you feel like it's more impactful now that you feel like you're working the front lines more?
To me, yeah. I think going back to like what we're joking about, like that's like black people shit or that's like white people shit. Like I think for me, it's it can just be a personal thing too. It's really taking off any sort of stigma or turn off that people would have
mm-hmm.
because I'm a believer, right? Yes. I think I have a much better chance to relate because I think what's interesting, like it's probably a really bad example. You might even edit this out, but it's like, like if you're black, you get blamed for everything a black person has done wrong. I think sometimes working in a church, you can kind of get that side eye because you're carrying every sort of offense somebody has. Like Marcelo said, like, I don't even want to do church stuff. But it's like, and if I meet somebody who does do church stuff, I judge them because they do church stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I think that not being in a church vocationally full time has just, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's just,
it's very freeing to you.
Yeah, it's freeing, and I'm able to keep it real. Like, I think, I never got in trouble with what I said, but from like a preaching standpoint, but just like, man, like, life is hard. We're all going through some shit. Everyone's trying their best. And I think from a religion and a faith and a teaching standpoint, you have to equip people to journey through life, not what you think life is or should be. Because there's two different things.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Because then you're being reactive instead of proactive. So you're just reacting to everything life throws at you instead of, you know what, like, this is what life is trying to throw at me, but this is what I want to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is what I want to stick to. Like, we, you know what I mean, like today's quote said, you got to go so far that, you know what I mean, you can't hear them anymore. Right. I mean, because people, you know what I mean, you get the doubt, you get the negative energy, and everything comes with it. Because as much as, like you said, as much as there's people who want to do good and want to do the right things, and everybody's just trying to make it, for some reason, there's, you know what I mean, there's an equal opposite. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just as many negative people who are trying to do the same exact thing for whatever reason. And you know what I mean? But the power of positivity is so much stronger that, you know what I mean, it can definitely carry us, you know, through the negative times, because the negative times are going to happen. You know what I mean? It's life. There's no easy guaranteed in life. You know what I'm saying? Well, good.
I was just going to say, it's like the negative is what's guaranteed.
Right.
The positive is what's not. And that's the thing with, like, with faith, right? And like, God, Jesus, there's like a better day coming. Like, heaven is this great, great place. But what's guaranteed for us on earth is none of those things.
Right.
Like, earth and life is not necessarily meant to be the easiest thing in the world. Yes, we have God's promises. Yes, we have these things. We have the Bible. But it's just so interesting. I think sometimes, at least in my own experience, I haven't equipped myself to navigate what is guaranteed.
Right.
You know, like, hope and faith are for things unseen, like what the Bible says. But it's like, I'm a human, so I'm going to go by what I see. And I know that what I see is not positive. So am I built? Have I put in the work to remain positive even when things go sideways? And that's where I think not being in a vocational setting like a church full time has allowed me. And to be honest, it's challenged me. Right. Am I going to follow God or believe in God when it's not my job? That's some real shit, to be honest. There, it's like,
I'm not integrity.
Exactly. Do I believe what I say I believe? Am I gonna walk this way? Am I gonna live this way?
When nobody's watching.
When nobody's watching, when there's no stage, and you know, I think it's sad. I think that God gets a bad rap for all the dumb stuff that we do as humans. I think it sucks. Mm-hmm. But I think also, you know, God's bigger than a building, right? I think God can meet somebody anywhere. I think God can meet somebody as I'm working with a youth, helping them apply for scholarship. I think God can move in that moment just as much, if not more, than if he's sitting in a room hearing somebody speak. And so I try to walk and operate with that just like, I want to be a blessing to people's life. Like, you know, I'm blessed that I be a blessing. And I think, you know, it's one of those things too, where it's like, I think for all three of us, like, our lives could have gone left so many different times.
Oh yes,
it could have gone bad so many. And I'm just convinced whenever I get discouraged, whenever I get down on myself, I'm like, we have not. And I say we, talking to all three of us, we have not made it to this moment today, just for this moment today. Like, I just believe there is more, there is bigger, there is greater, and I think that we need cheerleaders and fans in our ears and positivity in our ears. Because again, like, what is guaranteed? The negative.
The negative energy.
The haters. Like, that's guaranteed.
Absolutely. Rewind that back one more time if y'all are listening. Go ahead and just rewind that back probably about 30 seconds and just listen to all that again, because that is a gem.
But it's just like real life. And that to me is what I'm passionate about too, as far as like just living my life, real life. Even with my kids, maybe I'm too transparent with them at times, but I just think we got to – part of mentoring, part of the whole youth thing is like, you know, shame on me if I provide all this opportunity for somebody or for my kids or whatever, and I haven't set them up to navigate real life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In so many things, real life is like being married is real life. Mm-hmm. Having a job is real life. Managing your money, being a parent is like all these real life things. I think we have, for whatever reason, you know, overlooked. because we don't want to, I don't even know the answer why, but I just feel as there's so much in life, whether it's school, church, whatever it is, sports, we have not equipped a lot of people to thrive in a real life context.
I agree. And the crazy thing is, it's a world that, you know, was created before our time in a sense. Right. And now we're trying to fix it. And, you know, mm-hmm. our time is almost, you know, our time is shifting because, you know, a lot of my age group, we're 30s.
Yeah.
We probably got maybe another 30 years max where we can really make an impact at our most physical capacity. You know what I'm saying? So we're trying to scramble and fix the world for the next generation, you know, for our kids, our nieces, our nephews, you know what I'm saying? Even our mentees, everybody, you know what I mean? And it's tough because, you know, even with the laws passed here in Texas and you know what I mean? Like people don't have choices over their own bodies. And it's like what type of world are we living in where, like, so I saw a bumper sticker. Today was a pretty insightful day because I was sitting in traffic and I saw a bumper sticker and it simply said coexist. And I was like, and I thought to myself, why can't we? You know what I mean? Like, why? So, Zach, you're heavy on the church. I'm not very big in church, but me and you are sitting here having a wonderful conversation talking about 100%. All the blessings that come from one, being in the church, and two, wanting to be a person that wants to impact lives positively. You know what I mean? That's where we connect. That's where we coexist. You know what I mean? We can all coexist together. We just have to find a way. And I feel like politics, I'm going to be honest, politics divide us. You know what I'm saying? Like red state, blue state, Bloods, Crips. You know what I mean? What's the difference? What's the difference? What is the difference? You know what I mean? Other than, you know, the extreme violence in the streets.
But,
you know what I mean? It's a divide for whatever reason to keep us from coexisting. And I can't understand why some people just can't pull the fleece out from over their eyes and realize if we do more positive things, it's going to create that ripple effect.
Right. Yes, I'm glad you brought up the Texas thing. It's like a soapbox for me in the sense that, like, this is going to sound crass, but I'm always like, because of course I'm pro-life. Who's not pro-life? You think anybody wants to wake up and, you know, do that? No. Nobody wakes up and says, today's my day to go get an abortion. But I feel like the way politics makes it seem is that that's what people's intent is.
Right.
And I think if we were to focus on doing good or just the greater good, right? Then, I think you said it so, so well. Like, just the fleece over our eyes. And it's, I love my mom to death. But we go back and forth, and I would consider her a one issue voter on this pro-life thing. Is like, we take these things that are very important, life or death, yes, but we become one issue voters, and we go along with things we may not agree with, but because it's pro-life, we're going to align ourselves with it.
Right.
Like, it's very interesting. It's fascinating. Like, again, though, it's like church, bro, it's social. It's so social and identity driven. And Bloods and Crips, gangs, right? Like, it's identity driven. Politics is so, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
But it's like when you boil it down, I was like, Mom, you think anybody wants to wake up and says, today's the day? It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I think it really, a lot of politics comes out of fear. I think a lot of identity or searching for identity comes out of fear. I think, you know, we join different groups or social groups for acceptance. Why? Because we fear rejection.
Yeah.
If I join this gang, my boys are going to have my back.
Right. And I think that goes back to how we talked about, you know, the location and everything, you know, you're a product of your environment.
Mm. Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. And you may not agree with everything that's going on there, but in order to survive, like Marcella said, you have to become that different person. You know what I mean? You can't be the kid who just wants to stay out the way. I mean, you got to be the kid who survives. I mean, you can't have blue morals, quote unquote, and live in a red state. You know what I mean? You're going to feel some type of way. So maybe you convert just because, you know what I mean, for whatever reason. But I definitely feel that, you know, it's pressure. You know what I mean? It's pressure from your environment to want to fit in. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, I feel like that happens everywhere. You know what I mean? Not even just like the neighborhoods and things we're talking about, even as an adult. You know what I mean? Even like, and even more so, like as a child, but as an adult, you know what I mean? I'll use my story, for example. So I came out the military, or I came out of high school, took a year off and went straight into the military. So I was like 19 years old. You know what I mean? I didn't, I didn't know who I was at that time. You know what I'm right. saying? Like, I had worked at Target. I had worked at like a factory job, and like that was it. You know what I mean? So I didn't know who I was, mm-hmm. but luckily I was put in a great community. You know what I mean? For my first unit, and it kind of helped mold me into the person I am. I had, you know what I mean, great friends who are a little older than me, who, you know what I mean, who have been through life, who were able to get there to give me, you know what I mean, kind of guidance. And then, you know, I had friends that, you know what I mean, were my same age, where we grew together, and, you know what I mean, the mistakes we made, we knew that wasn't it. You know what I mean? We knew our greater purpose and things like that. So I was very blessed in that sense, but, you know what I mean? It's like you said, you know what I mean? Sometimes we get, you know what I mean, pressured into being that certain thing because we want to fit in.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I think too, like, I'm trying to learn this. I'm 35 and I'm trying to learn this. I'm trying to learn that it's okay not to have all the right answers or have all the answers. I'm trying to learn it's okay not to have every aspect of my life figured out.
Right.
You know, I think that's another thing that's kind of can be a turnoff to people when you're talking about different ideas or philosophies or religions is, you know, I think for, and I'll talk about myself only, won't label anybody else, but I remember the feeling of always trying. I always felt like I had to have that answer in that moment. And right. I think that's something that's slowly, hopefully being worked out of me. But I think we see it in some of these reactive political measures or this reactive society in general is we're so, whether it's fear driven or what, but we want to have the answer so badly. Right. We almost shape the truth to fit our own narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me ask you something. Did you feel that way prior to like basic training?
I didn't join the military. I wasn't in the military, I think I felt that way. Honestly, I felt that way in the last 5 years.
Okay.
I think I grew up in suburbia, made it out, moved back to suburbia. And I think in racially non-diverse environments produce environments of thought that are also not diverse, meaning in my opinion, diversity has many applications. And when you're not in a diverse state of living, I think your ideas aren't often challenged, or there's no need to have your, you know, whatever philosophy is well thought out.
Right.
I always felt that the tension of, you know, I'll call it politics. I've always felt the tension maybe more on the liberal side or the more kind of, I don't know the right word, but I always felt the tension of feeling like I had to have the right answer, but I knew not having the answer wouldn't fit the context in which I was trying to live. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's where it gets interesting to me is like, it's very, very wild. You know, my wife and I always joke about like where in the Bible does it say God, like God needs us to defend him? He just does it. Like my voting or my, like, again, like these things, I'm not saying they're not important. They're important. Like, voting's an insanely amazing freedom. Like, we all can agree on that. But also funny to me where it's like, we get so, and we, like, no one's, you know, void of this, is like, we all get so passionate over things that are big or little or whatever in different in size. But it's like, at the end of the day, what's the bigger picture? Mm-hmm. You know, what sword are we dying on? Like, there's just so, and it's, and, you know, again, I'm sure there's other places I could have raised my kids too, but like in LA, it's, I don't want my kids to necessarily think homelessness is normal, but they're also learning the value of a human life isn't dependent upon if they have four walls and a door. There's all these little things that I think it's so easy, man, to get hung up on such trivial things, whether it's money, whether it's status, whether it's stuff. It's like LA is beautiful and fun, but it'll also eat you up and spit you out if you don't know who you are. I've had countless friends come and try to make a run in the city. And it's like, if you don't know who you are, or if you don't have a direction or a sense of self, it's really easy to get caught up on things that don't matter. And all of a sudden those things begin controlling your life, or you get lost in the sauce. And that sauce can be so many different things, right? Like, right. It can be the literal sauce, or it can just be like, you're caring about the wrong thing.
Right, right. You're out there pursuing the wrong dream. You forgot your purpose.
100%.
You forgot your purpose. And that actually will lead us into today's mantra, which is perfect. It is, I am following my passion and moving into my purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you get caught up in those things that don't matter. You start to lose sight of the bigger picture. Like you said, you get lost in the sauce, whatever that sauce may be. Man, it's L.A., you know, and I know I'm not the only one who's heard the stories of L.A. You know what I mean? If you go out there, you know, if you can make it out there, you can make it anywhere. Kind of like New York type things. Right. But in the same sense, like you said, it'll spit you up and chew you out. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you got to take the chance. But knowing yourself is definitely key. The reason why just to backtrack a little bit, the reason why I'd ask about that question is because I don't know if Marcellus feels the same way, but I know, like, being indoctrinated into me, like, through the military, like, you need the answer on spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether it was boards, whether it was in basic training, you know what I mean? Like, you had to know the answer on the spot. And even there was times in the office where I felt like, oh, man, I'm supposed to have went to school for this. I'm supposed to know this. So it's like, damn, if I don't know this, I don't know my job. You know what I mean? I'm not a good soldier.
Right.
You know what I mean? All these thoughts start to trickle down. And you know what I mean? You start to get bogged down with the negativity all because you didn't know one answer.
So I'm on the fence about that.
You said what?
I'm on the fence about that one.
Speak your truth. Speak it.
Because when people are put on the spot, I feel like one of the most powerful things you can do as a leader, especially in a position of leadership, anybody in a role, but especially in a position of leadership, is say, I don't know, but 100%. I'll find out.
I agree. Yeah, because I agree.
Ignorance can, like, stem so many other things to go on. Like, somebody asks you this question, you're like, oh, this is the answer, and you come up with some BS. And now you done told this soldier that you got influence on. They know 10 other people. And they're like, blah, blah, blah. And, like, this thing is just spreading like wildfire because people, like, trust you. They're like, this guy's usually right. So, like, one of the most powerful things you could do is be like, man, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, let me look into it for you.
Let me look it up for you, yep.
Right. Like, you asked me a question last week, you know what I mean, about your car, and I was like, you know what? Before I even give you an answer, let me do some research. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I mean? That's a big responsibility. But, you know, I totally agree with you in that sense. But I feel like what Zach was saying, that's the product. You know what I mean? Like, people fear, you know what I mean, not knowing. So they make up an answer. And then, like you said, there's misguided information. Facebook is the cesspool of misguided information.
Yeah.
Like, my goodness. Because, you know what I mean, people, like you said, Marcellus, people who have influence say these things. And, you know what I mean, people just run with it. You know what I mean? And it's crazy. I feel like we could talk about this all day, you know what I mean? Because we really are just carrying. Let me ask you just a few more questions about the youth side, you know what I mean, of everything you do. So everything we talked about, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's at an adult level, you know what I'm saying? Yep. So it's more so people our age group and a little bit younger can understand.
Yep.
How do you try to implement those beliefs to the younger generation, so in a way that they can understand it?
Yeah, I think, you know, this fits in honestly really perfectly with what we're just talking about having the answer. I think for me, my methodology, and it's hard to be honest, is I try to, from a problem, I think I view life as a giant story problem. I hated them as a kid. I hated them in college. I think I still hate them, but I'm convinced that life, business, is a story problem. And I try to, whether it's an opportunity or let's say a skill, I try to resource the person or the kid with the access to information, but I try to create the environment or freedom for them to make a lot of mistakes to find the answer or to find the solution to the problem. So I think for me, it's not free form necessarily, but it's definitely not spoon feeding either. It's a lot of, what do you think? Or why do you think this? It's allowing them to process the information versus me telling them the answer. And that can honestly be applied to, like, a skill, a moral, a religion, a belief. Like, to compare and contrast, like, growing up in my house, you know, being very, like, white and Christian house, like, Muslim would be talked talked down upon, someone who's Muslim. Mm-hmm. Whereas for me, one thing that I try to like work out with my kids is talking about it from a, oh, that's awesome, learning about the culture, learning about the religion. Because right. I'm not afraid of Muslims as a religion. And I right. think that's I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't try to educate or mentor out of fear. I try to mentor or educate out of opportunity and treat it as a something to make yourself more dimensional. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you allow someone to process the information for themselves, they're one, going to have a much more clear understanding why they believe what they believe, but it's also going to be theirs and it's not going to be mine. And that right. can be said, you know, again, for a set of morals, that can be said for, I mean, it's just that's, again, I think I'm, you know, drilling on LA, but that's one of the beautiful things of LA. And I think being a parent now is like, it really puts the rubber to the road because not everyone's like, there's a lot of different kind of people. Right. So when it comes to having kids, it's really forced me to take what I would do as a job or take what I would do in the church and apply it to my own home. You know, my mm-hmm. kids are 7 and 9. They're not 16. It's like, so I'm having to break things down or break down decision making right. at a very rudimentary level. And right. for me, a lot of it is allowing them to interpret what they experience, because their experience is their, you know, experience. If they believe in the same God as me, awesome. But their experience with that God is going to be different. Why? Because right. they're not me. And so I think setting them up to be able to process their experiences in a healthy way, in a non-destructive way, is really the key for me. And a lot of it is listening, to be honest. I can ask questions, but a lot mm-hmm. of it is listening. I really being believe responsive. In the power of like, yeah, and just being able to process things verbally and having the space to do so. Like Marcel's like, for example, like it may have not been a negative thing to have an answer when you're in the military, but did you feel like it was a safe space to not have the answer? And that's kind of where I would flip the cards, right? It's like, I'm trying to create a space in my mm-hmm. home and in the community that I live in where it's okay to have an answer or to not have an answer at all. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's, we get ourselves stuck or in trouble when we try to force a hand, like you were saying, like that half truth. I told that one could go and affect 10 more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love that you like have an open-mindedness about it. Cause I don't know if any of you guys have ever read Outwitting the Devil. And y'all may have, Marcellus, you may have heard me talk about it before, but one of the main things that they talk about the school system in that book is, I mean, the school doesn't teach you how to be a thinker. It teaches you how to follow directions.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's where we as a society tend to fail. You know what I mean? Because it's like, we're not setting up these kids to be free thinkers and to be, you know what I mean? And to solve problems with solutions. We're teaching them to follow directions. And so right. now when they get to this crossroad and they're like, oh man, what do I do? It goes back again to the influence. They're gonna follow that influence of that person. Right. And if they're misinforming them, they're just gonna keep walking down that path of misinformation. You know what I mean? Because 100%. They're not free thinkers, they're rule followers. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But yeah, I love that, man. That's awesome that you do that. Like that's such a beautiful way of teaching because it's so evolutionary in a mm-hmm. sense, you know what I'm saying? Because it gives them the freedom to grow within, like you said, their own experiences. And I feel like personally that's how people grow, through experiences.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 100%. Every video game we've ever played, experience has been how you level up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's an experience in itself, like a role playing game. Like you right. like that's a great illustration. It's 100% true. It's right. Everything in life is experiential. Mm-hmm. Like it's, and I think if we don't educate that way or teach that way, you know, we're only doing it ourselves a disservice.
Right. And it's not always, not everything you learn is going to be the right way. So right. you know what I mean? It's going to take other experiences to learn, like, okay, that's not how I do things.
Yeah.
I
mean, and preach.
I had an NCO and he told me every NCO you meet is going to teach you something. They're either going to teach you how not to do something or they're going to teach you the right way to do something. And I spun with that and I applied that to everyday life. Everybody I meet, everybody I talk to, I mean, either they're going to teach me how to walk down the right path or they're going to show me why I shouldn't be walking down that path.
Yep.
But, man, we're getting close on time. Marcel, do you have any other questions you want to ask before we wrap up a little bit?
So usually when we wrap up, we ask what have you been bumping?
Oh, y'all already know what I've been bumping. So I just wanted to, y'all already know what I've been bumping. So I'm gonna let y'all go ahead.
So we know these two albums have been dropped.
Okay.
Purposely in between each other. You know, there was a whole competition going on.
Oh, man.
I've literally, been in-depth studying, because I don't know if you know, Zach, but I've been learning to DJ. So I'm, studying these songs, all, the sampling.
He's pretty good, too.
I'm like, what's going on here, right? So, yeah, I've been deep into both those albums. And, every time I hear it, I hear something different. It's a different experience each time. Yes. So I was like... both these guys are musical geniuses at the end of the day. You can sit there and compare and blah, 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 but they're amazing, talented people who are expressing themselves at the end of the day. So
it needed to be said. Thank you, sir. Comparison is the thief of joy. And we just enjoy what we got.
I am on I've been on a Little Baby tear for months. I don't know why. I just think he's the new wave, man. Yo. I really do.
I don't listen to many other new artists, but Little Baby is definitely one of those people that I listen. One of my favorite gym songs right now is Every Chance I Get.
Yeah,
bro. I'm telling you, keep going. I'm like, all right, Khaled, let's go.
100%. I'm like, and I always think man, Khaled got lucky with this one because I just think it's yeah, that's fire song.
Best out. But yeah, I definitely agree. Little Baby is where it's at, man. Does anybody want to shout out, Zach? Anybody want to show some love to?
Man, I'm just thankful for you guys. I think it's I tell you guys before we started recording, but you know, a lot of people say a lot of things about starting things and doing it and seeing it through. It's a different story. I think you're in your 50s when it comes to the episodes. And so I just begin, for what it's worth, I think it's pretty incredible that you're doing it and you're seeing it through. And, of course, I always want to shout out my family, my wife, my boys. They're our world. I joke that I'm a young LeVar Ball in the making. So you may or may not see me on the internet losing my mind at a 10U basketball game, but YOLO.
You get like that. It's funny you say that because Marcellus, I don't know if you've seen a video from a youth football game went viral, on SportsCenter, of a mother running up the sideline with her son for his first touchdown. I thought that was so amazing.
That's sick.
That's dope. There was one more thing I was gonna say. Thank you for those kind words, man.
Of course,
means a lot, especially because Marcellus and Lane, you guys, you're active duty military members, man. Not everybody may know that, and not everybody may understand what that entails. So Zach is giving us the praise, but I give y'all the praise, man. We're actually y'all make it work.
Both on mission right now.
Yeah, right. You guys are currently on mission. And you still step up. You guys help me out when I'm not able to be there. Coordinating with the guests and everything. So, Zach, to be honest, I couldn't do it without these guys, man. And they're not only sacrificing everything for the country, but they're also coming to give this dope content.
Come on. That's right. You know what I'm saying? That's dope.
So we definitely appreciate that. I know Eric will appreciate it. And I know Marcellus appreciates it. But, man, we appreciate you because today's episode was awesome, man. It was great. We've had a bunch of great guests. And you're just another one added to the list. So thank you, bro.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, y'all already know, positivity, prosperity, peace.
Peace.